go through and, yeah.
So did you get to watch last night?
I saw a little bit. I saw a little bit, yeah. Very excited for their opening. There was a guy walking around with a Redskins hat on who's getting drilled downstairs. But no, that was awesome.
How much of it was familiar versus not familiar, like when you watch this scheme?
Very familiar. Very familiar, yeah. I mean, it was almost, a lot of the same stuff, and excited to see those guys at that level execute it, and it was, fun to watch, for sure. Who do they play next?
Chargers.
They play the Chargers on Sunday.
Okay.
Kansas City, I think.
No, Kansas City's after that. Trust me, we're digressing here. Any questions about Oregon football?
Mentioning Oregon and showing graphics about Oregon and talk about everything Chip did here, does that help you guys in recruiting, you think, down the road, that extra exposure?
I'm sure it will to a certain extent. Yeah, I think the biggest thing is we just need to get the right guys. And if there's a few more, people that are drawn in that net because of that exposure, that's great. And then we just need to make sure that they're the right guys that end up here. I think it certainly validate something that we thought of this type of system can work at any level. And a lot of people use that against us in recruiting, but you look at the past several drafts, not only at quarterback, offensive line, basically across the board, the quote-unquote spread offense has been well represented in the draft, and that'll certainly revalidate something that we kind of already believed in.
Rick, did you have a question?
Yes, please. Quick kind of scouting report on Tennessee. What do you see from them on both sides of the ball? And then beyond that, how much of what Butch Jones did at Cincinnati do you see now starting to take place at Tennessee?
That's the hard part. The answering the last part first is exactly how much is transferred over. They're really talented. Both sides of the ball, typical SEC, huge up front on the offensive line, very physical, very athletic. Similar scheme to what we do. Offensively, defensively, again, same thing. Fast, physical, huge defensive line up front, really athletic on the back end. They're by far, which is probably to be expected, the most athletic team that we've played to date. Really jumps out in special teams. They dominated these last couple games from a special team standpoint. Had a punt block that was kind of a fluky deal, and just dominated the rest of that phase, which that's where, from an athletic standpoint, it jumps out the most on tape. But it's a tremendous challenge, and how much they've brought in from Cincinnati, that's always one of those million-dollar questions of how much, how soon, kind of they can implement those things. But they're similar. They're not exactly the same, but similar.
Andrew in front,
you talked about that 5 turnover and 6 play stretch. They had a kind of ridiculous sequence, but going back to all Butch Jones' career, he has a lot of turnovers. Is there a style that he employs or his defensive coordinator employs that you see that's consistent that enables an aggressive?
We need to study it, because that's the name of the game. Other than points, turnovers decide victories and losses. But they play really hard. That's something that we've always prided ourselves upon. That. We're going to play really hard and be relentless to the ball. That shows up on tape. As far as what they do, we need to study it because they're doing something right. We're very proud of how we take care of the football. We're proud about how we attack the football. And you're always looking for ways to get better.
Yes.
Right. How much can you really take from the film of Austin Peay in Western Kentucky when you're looking at an upcoming opponent?
The Austin Peay analogy is probably very similar to like our nickel state game. I mean, they formationally, Austin Peay on offense won't help us at all. And defensively, Tennessee just really got after them. It was a mismatch in all phases. Western Kentucky's a little bit different. They're a different team than Austin Peay is for sure. But it got so out of hand. And with the turnovers and all those things adding up, and they scored a couple kind of weird situational touchdowns. Again, that's the hard part about this time of year is you don't have that just bank of knowledge that you think you know, but you're not rock solid in your scouting report in any way.
Warren in the back.
Warren,
tape, can you tell if Butch is running a faster tempo offense like Cincinnati? Is it on par with what you guys do?
I don't know. We can't tell that from tape. You can look at number of plays per game, although they, you know, I heard they were talking about slowing it down after they were way ahead in both those games, which that's probably gonna, you know, that's gonna happen when those games are out of hand. They've run a very good system, very, very sound on both sides of the ball in all three phases. They're very well coached, and it'll be a tremendous challenge.
Rick in the back.
Just to kind of keep following up on that theme, how much tape of Cincinnati do you guys look at, just to, you know, kind of contingency planning?
All of it. Anything we can get our hands on. And they have the majority of their staff came from Cincinnati. And so, you know, the problem is now you're comparing kind of some games. They're going to defend certain teams way differently than they defend others and defend us. And so that again is kind of the guesswork that goes into it. And by game 9 or 10 or 11 or 12 at Cincinnati, they're going to be doing different stuff than you are at game 3 or 4 at Tennessee. So that's where the guessing comes in, and you just try to predict and then again go back to your strengths.
The front four run.
Any players for them on defense that have really stood out that might give you more trouble than others?
The guy that's 6'8", 360 or 380 or whatever it is, he jumps out. Enormous guy. Just does a great job and is still really athletic at that size. Their middle linebacker is a great sideline-to-sideline guy, really good cover guy, gets his hands on receivers and makes a ton of plays everywhere. Their back end is really fast, and especially comparing them to our two previous opponents, it's just a definite step up, which is to be expected of a place like Tennessee. It doesn't take long for that to jump out on tape.
Sean, on the left.
When you watch tape of Marcus so far in the first two games, his completion percentage is not terrible, but it's lower than maybe what it was last year. Is there anything that you're noticing on tape that answers why it is? I know there was 3 or 4 drops probably in the last game.
There were 6.
6, okay. So, do you equate it to more drops than anything else? Or?
Well, definitely. I mean, again, all that stuff is situational. I mean, we had a shovel pass that we're going to walk into the end zone, and our center is 2 yards deep in the backfield. That's an incomplete pass. You know, we have 6 other drops that are going to be, there's a couple in there that are going to be touchdowns. We don't sit around and dwell upon or whine about the stat. We focus on why did this particular play not work, or why did it work? Do more of those and fix the other stuff, and that's all you can do. The 4th-and-1 where we missed 2 blocks, we should be, you know, that should be a 50-yard touchdown. And so, you know, that's, I know everybody's mad at our 4th-down percentage. Were we 0-for-2 in that last game?
Yeah.
We missed 2 blocks, and we try to pull the ball, and we walk in the end zone there at the end of the first half, and life's good. Or it's better.
Andrew?
You said on Sunday you were seeking some clarification from the Pac-12 office about some of those penalties, but kind of the roughing the passer ones seemed to be the most borderline, I guess you could call it. Did you hear back from them? Do you kind of understand the consistency they're looking for now? Is there a better idea from your
perspective? There's a much better idea that I can't probably talk about.
Sure.
I was very pleased with our discussion. Let's put it that way.
Second row.
And more so the you know, I thought our guys, because of course, you know, depending on who you talk to, we can't tackle anybody and we're just unbelievably undisciplined team, which are things that I don't believe. Our guys did a great job of walking away from at least 6 situations that should have been called. And so those are things that we have to reaffirm to our guys in situations where the flags aren't thrown. And that's you know, those are teachable kind of situations, but they're tougher when it happens that way. But, you know, proud of our guys going forward. Did we have a couple that were 100% unacceptable? Yes, we did. And again, that's on me, and we will fix it.
Okay, now Nicole.
Coach, there's been a lot of talk about Marcus and his leadership role and how quiet he can tend to be, and especially this last weekend, we heard a lot about that. And I'm just kind of wondering if you think that's kind of hyped up, or if it's something that he really needs to work on. And also, if you could talk about what you see as his strengths as a leader.
For the first part, yeah, I think that's legitimate, and he's been awesome. It's something that can happen from time to time with a quieter guy, a humble guy, is they're not going to go, you know, grab the right guard by the face mask and tell him he needs to do his job, or what, you know, whatever it may need to be done at that point. And that's never going to be Marcus, but he can tell the right guard or whoever, hey, you know, we need you to do A, B, and C, and that guy will do it, and he'll fight for him. But Marcus has grown tremendously as a leader. That's something in our system, our quarterback, you hear that thing about your quarterback looking you in the eye in the huddle. We don't have that moment. You know, we don't have the look you in the eye in the moment in the huddle. But we need our quarterback to practice great, which Marcus does. We need him to lift great, which Marcus does. He needs to be great in the community, on campus, all that stuff that he's great at, and most of our guys are. And then because of his credibility, so to speak, as a player and a person, he can influence others with his leadership, and he's done a great job. And was there another part of that?
I know you got it.
Okay.
Jared, do you have a question?
Yeah. Coach, your punting and kicking game seemed to improve quite a bit from game number one. What did it help another?
Well, our punting improved, quote unquote, improved, but we don't want to punt. So it was good to get a couple situations. That sounds weird, but to, substitute, and we had a red zone opportunity down the ball inside the 10, which was good. Had the block punt, which was huge. We really wanted to take over that game with our punt return team, and they did a great job of creating that short field for the offense. Had too much penetration inside with that D line. They did a great job. The same D line that caused us a lot of problems offensively. Got their hands on a couple kicks, which part of that was a low kick and part of that was penetration. So just like everywhere else, kind of a couple steps forward, maybe a step back and step to the side, and need to get better.
Aaron? Pardon me if I missed this question already, but faceless opponent stuff aside, just shove this out real quick. Oregon has tried really hard to get big name programs to come here. What does it mean to have, Tennessee's down a little bit, but this is an all-time recognized program. What does it mean to have Tennessee come to Autzen Stadium?
I think it's great for our fans. It's for us. It's another game on the schedule, and we have to play it, and we have to approach it that way. I think it's great for the fans, for the media to then work all the theories of if A played B and B played C and C played D and to E and Z and Q, and at some point Fordham beats Alabama. Those are great to talk about, and for us, we need to just approach it and in our process.
But there has been a lot of talk over the years about the struggle to get teams like that to come here, which then, of course, hurts strength of schedule, and then you're always having to go play someone else, like LSU and neutral stuff to come here. I mean, so it does have an impact on the program, doesn't it?
It's at least good that it's reciprocated, for sure. That part of it's good. The scheduling, that's a 7.5-hour mini-series discussion.
Thanks.
Rick?
Since you broached the subject, I'll follow up. I mean, scheduling, I remember talking with...
We don't have 7.5 hours. Rick does.
Yeah, no, actually, I don't. But Chip mentioned that when he became head coach and his involvement in that. To what degree have you been involved with it so far? And if you had an ideal opponent that you could bring in or schedule a home and home, who would that be?
Southern Oregon. we'd trade 2-for-1. There's been a couple situations where we've tried to quote get some big names to do home and homes, and even a couple neutral sites that haven't happened for whatever reason. There's a couple that are in the works going forward. Yeah, exactly. And that's just such it's such a weird thing. We're geographically isolated from a lot of the teams that other people schedule, whether those are MAC teams or some of those Eastern teams that it's just easier traveling, and we don't have 100,000 seat stadium, so certain places can guarantee differently than we can. But yeah, I have some say, but we just play the games.
I'm sorry, in the middle there, I didn't see.
This show's called, you guys, the most complete TV scene in quite some time. I'm guessing you don't agree with that because you want to always be moving forward. What's keeping you guys from being a complete team?
What's keeping us from being a complete team?
Well,
we're not. I mean, a complete team and a fully achieving team are probably, you know, at least on some level different things. I think that's, he's playing Oregon this week, and then, you know, when they get ready for, they've got a couple of huge SEC games they need to get ready for. They need to be looking ahead a little bit more than they are. You know, we've got a ton of room for improvement across the board. And the neat part about that is our players know that. And so they you know, they can come in and we try to, something, you know, kind of from the military, we take the who out of the mistake. Okay, it's just a mistake. I'm going to make mistakes. Players are going to mistakes. Let's fix the mistake and then move forward. But complete? No, we're not complete.
Warren, did you have a question?
Yeah, just to kind of follow up on what Aaron was talking about. I understand that every game is a Super Bowl. But is there an excitement level from your part and the coaching staff to face an SEC team, to go up the challenge of matching up with an SEC team?
I'm excited for every day. I'm excited for this, believe it or not, because I'm learning from this. I'm getting better, and every day is exciting. Every game is exciting. I mean, if you're not excited to play whoever's on your schedule, you're in the wrong business. And as we've seen again, week in and week out, all those games that you guys are writing down in Sharpie in your ledger don't happen. And that's because that person on Monday said, well, this is going to happen, and it didn't. See? Yeah. That microphone. But, that, you know, and again, and just and how you guys say it, it's I know it's your way. That's our whole identity. That's our whole culture. That's why we are the way we are, is because we really think it matters. And we don't scoff at a quote-unquote lesser opponent or are intimidated by a you know, quote-unquote superior opponent. We're just excited to be around each other and prepare.